All right. Good morning, and thanks for joining for the Mashiach Matters class on Mashiach and the redemption. So we're holding over here in the story in Parshas Chayesara. We are at the place where Avram is going to send his servant Eliezer, an emissary, his agent, to find a shidduch for his son Yitzchak. And as we've been doing from the Bereishis till now, we've been uncovering the geula aspect, the redemption aspect in every story, and this story is no less. If Mashiach was in the eyes, in the heart, and in the mind of our Creator when He created the world, so every story and every event is, at its core, Mashiachic. We just have to dig a little bit to find that. And here is really amazing things. So the pasuk says like this. This is in Perek Chav Dalid, in Bereishis, pasuk Beis. You don't have to look in a Chumash. I will review the story, but if you want to, you could. It says that Avram calls his servant, the elder of his house, the one who was in charge over everything, and he said to him, please put your hand under my thigh, which was a manner in which he can administer an oath, Vashbiyacho b'Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, and I will place an oath upon you with Hashem, an oath you're swearing by God, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you should not take a son, a wife for my son from the Canaanite girls. Rather, you should go to my land, and to my birthplace, and from there you should take a woman, a wife, for my son Yitzchak. Now the Eved, the servant, responds to Avram and says, well, what's going to happen if the girl doesn't want to come? Should I bring and return your son to over there? And Avram says, be very careful. Watch out, don't do that. Hashem, the God of of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from my birthplace, and who has spoken to me and has sworn to me, telling me that to your children I will give this land, he will send his agent, he will send his malach, his angel before you, and you will be successful in your mission, and you will take a woman for my son, for Yitzchak. If, chas v'sholem, the woman, this is Avram speaking, if, God forbid, the woman doesn't want to come, so then you will be absolved from this oath that you have done. Just be very careful. My son, do not bring him back over there. Okay, the servant does this, and that's what's happening. Okay, that's the part of the story that I want to discuss today. In the end, of course, Eliezer is successful. He brings home Rivka back to Yitzchak to get married. And here's where the Jewish people are, the first Jewish couple getting married, already born Jewish, or at least Yitzchak, and is the foundation of the Jewish people. We need to understand a couple of questions over here. Number one, why the necessity of the oath? We see already earlier that Avram Avinu had already trusted Eliezer with everything. He gave him his full trust. He gave him all access to all of his bank accounts, to all of his... Everything was on there. Avram didn't question Eliezer. He knew his loyalty completely. There was nothing that he like, similar to what Yosef says, that my master didn't hold anything back from me, right? So Avram gave him everything. Suddenly over here, he doesn't trust him, and he's worried, and he's scared, and he has to make our shvua. Why the importance of the shvua? The other thing is, seems to be a little bit of a question on Avram's bitachin. Avram has bitachin that Hashem is going to take care, and this is going to be successful. He tells him, you should trust in Hashem, that Hashem is going to send the malach. But then Avram says, and if it doesn't happen, you're going to be absolved. What's this if it doesn't happen? Bitachon is not if. Bitachon means, when you have bitachon, it means absolute. You are 100% sure that something's going to happen. What's this possibility in Avram's mind that if it doesn't happen? How can you have a bitachon and at the same time, you know, whenever you're feeling bitachon that way, it's a question on the bitachon. That means we have to dig deeper. You know, we know bitachon always helps. But sometimes it's a struggle because you yourself feel that you're not really having real bitachon because I'm kind of nervous, I'm still have anxiety. So that means get a little closer to Hashem, open your heart a little deeper, and you'll feel God next to you, and then you'll have bitachon. But the Avraham Avinu was supposed to be the example. And Avraham is saying, it's possible that not. What's this? Another thing he tells Eliezer, if it doesn't happen, you are going to be absolved from the Shvuah. Now, why would I think anything else? I mean, why does he have to tell that even to him? I mean, why would we think that he administered an oath, and if it's totally out of Eliezer's control? Eliezer goes there. What is he? He's supposed to kidnap the girl? What is he supposed to do? He tries. He asks. He's going to do whatever he can. If it doesn't happen, of course he's absolved. So why does he have to tell him, Vinikasa, you're going to be absolved from the Shvuah? It's not going to be... That's something. Then we have to also understand Avram Avinu, when he tells Eliezer the big bracha that Hashem is definitely going to be with you, he says, Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, the God of heaven, Asher Lekachani, who took me from my father's house, and from my birthplace, and who swore to me, whatever, so and so. Why is that noigeya that Avram Avinu should relate that to Eliezer? Meaning to say, he wants to tell Eliezer, don't worry, God will be with you. Let him say exactly that. Elokei HaShemayim, Yishlach Malachai, will send his malach, and we'll be with you. Don't worry, you're going to be successful. Why the Arichus, God who took me out of my father's house and has protected me, if you're going to say that he wants to say that because he wants to be Ma'orer Hashem's kindness, like, you know, you want to evoke, you say, Hashem, you took care of me all my life. Everything you did for me. I'm begging you, please help me out now again. So then Avraham Avinu should have said that in his tefillah to the Eibishter. Please be successful. That is not Negeya to Eliezer, that he has to say, God who took me, and I took him in. For him, it's Negeya one thing. The God created heaven, charge of everything, will send the Malach. So is there something deeper over here that Avram gives Eliezer that message? Okay? So, to understand all of this, so there's a sefer called Divrei Moshe, who's from a student of the Baal Shem Tov. His name was Reb Moshe from Alina.
Okay.
I don't remember studying anything from his sefer yet, but his explanation over here, excuse me, is really, really fascinating on this whole story. And he says as follows. We know that it says in Medrash that Eliezer was considered Arur. He was cursed. Because not personally, but because he was descendant from Canaan and Cham. And that's why Eliezer was cursed. And it says in the Medrash that in this story where Eliezer acted on behalf of Avram Avinu and saw it through as a perfect shatchan and brought about this shidduch, this is what took Eliezer's neshama out from being cursed. Eliezer stopped being cursed and Eliezer became baruch. Like it says, actually in the pasuk, they said to him, when he came to the Charan, they said to him, Boy berich Hashem, come in the blessed of God. So you see clearly, they're calling him blessed. And the fact that they said it is one thing. The fact that the Torah says that they said it, they might have had a lot of other conversations. The fact that the Torah says it means it's true. So when they said, Boy berich Hashem, is because Eliezer is now called baruch. So it also says in the Kuti Torah of the Arizal that Eliezer was first Arur. He says he was a holy neshama. He was a holy neshama. He was trapped in the klipa, in the unholy, and what's called the cursed. He wasn't an essence cursed. He was a holy being trapped in the cursed. And he became baruch, and the Arizal Taka brings that pasuk, Boy berich Hashem, that he went out of it. Now from this story it implies that when did Eliezer go out from first being cursed to become blessing was actually at this story. Why? Because initially when Eliezer is talking to Avram Avinu and he wants to possibly suggest, Eliezer himself had a daughter, and he wants to possibly suggest that Avram should do a shidduch with him, that his daughter should marry Yitzchak, and that's what Chazal learned out when he says, Ulai, maybe, perhaps the girl won't want to come. And the Medrash goes far to say that Eliezer had a daughter and her name was Ulai. And he was like hinting that Ulai, maybe, Ulai will be this. And Avram says, excuse me, you're cursed and I'm blessed, and cursed and blessed do not go together. But in the end we find Eliezer comes out of it. So we see that in this story is where the transition took place, when Eliezer went from cursed. When he executed this shlichus, we see Eliezer going from cursed and going into blessing. So we need to understand, I mean, and it's simply because he fulfilled, he served his master in a very, very, in a very, very wholehearted, complete way. But we really ask the question, Eliezer has been standing on Avram Avinu's side for a very long time, even to the point of Mesiras Nefesh, when Avram ran after the four kings, which was totally suicidal. It was the biggest armies of the world that just had devastated and decimated the entire area. They just came back from winning a world war and defeating the giants. And Avram runs out to chase after them, pursuing only with Eliezer. That's according to one opinion, the 318 men, they were Eliezer. So Eliezer is a loyal servant, willing to risk his life for the sake of his master. Yet that did not extract him from curse to blessing. It was only now. So why epizdafka at this time do we find that Eliezer becomes from curse to baruch? And the answer is that because at this time Eliezer is being sent on a particular mission in which Eliezer needs to extract the spark of holiness, because Rivka was a beautiful, beautiful neshama, and she too was buried in the klipa. Because when we know in the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, all the powerful neshamas, or many, many of the powerful neshamas, fell down into the other side. And the avoda is birur ha'olam, purification of the world, emptying out, like we know Mitzrayim now, the whole parsha, to take all the wealth out of Mitzrayim, to take all the holiness out of the darkness, out of the klipa. And Rivka was this great spark, as we're going to see in a moment. And in order for the extractor to be able to do the extractor itself cannot be in stuck. Because ein chavish mater atzmoy, a prisoner cannot release himself from prison, and you cannot fix someone else when you yourself are in that same prison. When they tell you on the plane, they tell you first put on your own oxygen mask and then help someone else. So you first have to breathe. So Eliezer needed to be extracted to be able to do this extraction. So the process of extracting Eliezer began with Avram Avinu administering the oath. The Shvuah was not stam, an oath just to make sure. You know, he can trust him. That's not the Inyan. When Avram made a Shvuah to Eliezer, means he connected him to a very high place. He actually picked him up. He bound him. He tied him. An oath is a tying. He ties him to a very high place. He brings over here a Zoyar. The Zohar says in Parshas Miketz, it says in the Pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, it's a Pasuk in Devarim somewhere, God, and Parshas Ekev, I think, your God, you should fear, or Parshas Re'eh, I think, Uboi Tidbok, and in him you should cleave, Ubishmoi Tishaveya, and in his name you should swear. So the Zohar says, it doesn't say Uboi Tishaveya, it doesn't say in him you should swear, it says Ubishmo Tishaveya, in his name. That means, why the name? Because the name is referring, Malchus is called the name of Hashem, kingship, Malchus. And Malchus Tishaveya, because Malchus Shavua also comes from the word Sheva. Malchus is the seventh level, because the seven spheres, Malchus is number seven. So Ubishmoy, which is the seventh one, which is Malchus Tishaveya, you will swear, which means you will be connected to the seventh level, which is connected to Basi Lagani now, which we're learning, because our Rebbe is the seventh Rebbe. This is Ubishmoy Tishaveya. And in him, you should swear, meaning you should connect yourself. Avram Avinu connected Eliezer to this level. And that's why he says to him, when he makes the oath, Helekei Hashamayim velekei Haaretz, he's connecting him to the Dargin Ilan, to the supernal levels, the Dargin Titan, and the lower levels. Mamash, all levels of Kedusha. He's tying him, he's connecting him, he's bonding him. And he's helping him, this extraction. The extraction is not yet completed, because Avram still tells him, you're cursed. So it's not yet, but this is enabling it. We will see, as we'll see soon, we will see how things will evolve to see if Eliezer managed to get out or not. But this is where Avram, so this explains why Avram is doing the Shavua. He's picking it, this was a great spiritual, powerful surgery that Avram was doing in the Shavua. To surgically remove Eliezer from the husk, from the klipas, to be able to connect them. The Rechaim HaKadosh explains, when Rivka was born, the Torah gives the entire yichus of Rivka. In the end of Parshas Vayera concludes with the yichus of Haran, and Besuel, and all the wives that they had. And the Rechaim asked the question, why do we need to have the whole yichus, the family album? What do we need to see the family album of these notorious liars, thieves? These are very horrible people. When you read what the Medrash tells us about Basil, what he did to the girls, and whatever, it was horrible. You're talking about why do we want to look at their family album to see all this going on? And the answer is because of the rose. Kesheshama ben achoichem. Arachaim says when there's an esoidus of a neshama to come out of klipa, it begins to shake, and all the surroundings start becoming like there's a vibration taking place in the whole area. And Avram Avinu sensed already that this neshama is ready to come out. Avram Tzadik can sense when the vibrations are happening in his family, and it's time to do the extraction. But in order to accomplish the extraction, Eliezer would not be able to accomplish the extraction if Eliezer himself is still in his utterdig state. So therefore, Avram Avinu takes Eliezer, bonds him, like almost like the idea of Nafshoi, Kshura ben Nafshoi, connects him to him, so now he can become his shliach, and the Kedusha of Avram Avinu can now be funneled through Eliezer. And actually in Kabbalah and Chassidus it says that Eliezer is Malach Metatrin. He's an agent in the spiritual dynamics of executing godly things in this world. So Avram is now connecting Eliezer to him and dispatching him onto this mission. Now, here's the thing. Eliezer, however, is worried. Now, why is Eliezer worried? Well, because Eliezer was very sensitive, and he realized that the mission over here is monumental. It's very, very big, and there's a tremendous amount weighing down on these very next few moments. And he was afraid, as you say in Yiddish, as achzol nishkalamach, meaning to say that I'm trying to do a tikkun, I'm trying to do a rectification, but if chas v'sholem it doesn't happen, then not only will I not bring about a benefit, I can chas v'sholem bring about a terrible destruction. Where do we see something like that? We see by Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech was sent by Shmuel HaNavi to fight a war against Amalek. And Shaul HaMelech, we know, only did one sin in his life. Only did one sin. But because this was the sin that he did, he didn't exactly follow to the last and final letter that he was told. He was told to kill out and to completely wipe out all the Amalekites and their cattle and everybody. And he had mercy. And he had mercy on the sheep, and he found compassion, and he did not do what Hashem said. And because of that, you see such a ruthlessness in the response. The response is very, very severe. Shmuel HaNavi lets him hear it and tells him, forget about it, it's over. Even though David HaMelech sinned more, whatever that means, it's tzaddik sinning, but whatever, had more mistakes than Shaul, but Shaul, there was no forgiveness. No forgiveness to King Shaul for what he did. And the reason is, this thing like this, there is a tremendous battle between Kedusha and Klipa, between Kedusha and Klipa, back and forth. They wrestle with each other for the control of the world and for the, ultimately, for who's going to, you know, what kind of world is it? Is it going to be a godly place? Or Chas v'Shalom, this is going to be the reign of the other side. And they wrestle ferociously one with each other, back and forth and back and forth. Anybody can sense the tension that has been going on in the last couple of months in the world can see this war like happening in its fullest. The battle is raging. So you can see, so this is, but there are certain moments in history that are crucial. When the power is given to a certain human being, that he's able to bring it all to a conclusion. That time, the power was, Shaul HaMelech had the koiches to eradicate Amalek, and when you break Amalek, you're basically destroying Klipa in its strongest point, because Reish is Koyim Amalek, Amalek is the source of all Klipa, and if he would have decimated and destroyed the Amalek completely, would have been already the time, the Beis HaMikdash could have been built, and it would have been we would have had already the complete coming of Mashiach, cause the Ra, evil would have been destroyed once and for all, completely gone, over, smashed, destroyed. All of Kedusha would have been extracted, and Klipa would have been laid, as he uses the terms, Pegada Mesim. They would have been completely corpses out. Problem is, if you don't seize the moment, when the moment comes, and you don't act swiftly, strong, and you procrastinate, you kratzach. Here's the thing. That's when the moment comes, you have to hit the pedal to the metal and go full force. If you don't and you kratz, then you give the other side a chance to gather strength again. There's like sometimes in a war, you have like a little window. You have a little crack in which this is the time. In it, and that's it. It's operation, like by Entebbe. You had like you had those I don't know how many minutes, mamash, a couple of minutes in which all this had to be done. And if you're not going to do it swiftly, 1, 2, 3, it's not going to happen. This was an operation in Tevi. This was possible to bring about the conclusion of everything. And that's why when Shaul says, big deal, I'll do it now, I'll kill them now, too late. That was it. They had the strength now to rebuild, to reconnect. Like we see, if even physically he had the chance, he impregnated a woman at that night, and Amalek planted a new seed in the world. And guess what? Now it's going to take, again, hundreds of years or thousands of years. Now there's a moment come, you can do it now. Don't do it now. It's going to be a tug of war and a battle, and it's going to go on. And Kedusha is going to defeat Klipa, but it's going to be a prolonged and difficult battle. And you'll see later, Shaul is moved away. David HaMelech becomes king. Amazing. David HaMelech becomes king, but he can't destroy the Klipa. Immediately. He wages war. He wins, but he can't do it. That koach was given right then and there, and it was missed. So you see from here, if you don't execute something immediately, then not only are you not benefiting it, you give them koiches for the other side to get stronger again and over again. We will see, just like it is in regards to the shleimustig defeat of all of Klipa, it's also in regards to every individual neshama. When it comes time for that neshama to come out, especially a gem like our mother Rivka, who is not just an individual neshama, but she's a mother of the Jewish people. So over here you also have the same kind of situation, where it's so important to get it done, and not chas v'shalom allow it to happen. So Eliezer is nervous. He brings another very interesting thing. You find this idea that, again, when you have a neshama to be extracted and you don't extract and you don't do it 1, 2, 3, when Shmuel HaNavi was later sent to actually anoint David HaMelech as a king. So Shmuel tells Hashem, I'm afraid that Vishama Shol, that Shol is going to hear Vayahargeini and is going to kill me. So Hashem tells him, don't be afraid, take along an animal, gives him instructions on what to do. He shouldn't fear, and it's going to be good. Question over here is, if Hashem protected him and said nothing is going to happen, but that was protection for the way going. Question is, why isn't Shmuel afraid that on the way, after he's going to do it? Okay, now, okay, it's going to be done, Hashem is going to be, but what, Shaul is going to send someone later to kill him, something might happen. Why was he only afraid? He seemed to be saying that I'm on my way going, I'm scared something is going to kill me. Why wasn't Shmuel afraid for his life later? And the answer is a very deep answer. You see, Shmuel wasn't afraid for his life. He's ready to be Meister Nefesh. This is not, Shmuel is a tzaddik of Mesiris Nefesh. If I have to die doing God's will, I will do it. Shmuel was terrified for the same thing. If he gets killed, and he doesn't, if this Avoida that's supposed to get done, gets stopped, gets put, if it gets aborted in the middle, it will have terrible consequences. Why? What's going on over here? Because David HaMelech is the same story. You see, as we discussed many times, the neshama of Moshiach and the neshama of Kedush was in the dark klippus of Moab. That's where it was. And it was entrenched in these very, very dark klippus. When Eglon, the king of Moab, honored God, and he stood up for the sake of Hashem, and he walked 3 steps, it says, when the shliach came to him to give him something, a message from Hashem, and he stood up and he went 3 steps, that little bit of surrender to Kedusha that he did enabled the Nitzutz Kedusha of Mashiach and all of this to be extracted. In other words, he opened up the door for Kedusha, for the extraction to happen. And that's what happened with his granddaughter, or Rus, or daughter. She later was Megayer. But even though she's Megayer, it's still a process, it's still a procedure. You see, David HaMelech still has a lot of klipa swarming around him. That's why it's not clear that David is going to be a king. There's all this bad stuff all around that family, that he's not kosher, that she's all this going on. And even when Yishai has David HaMelech, they looked at this child as this kid is was born as a mamzer. They had all kinds of things saying about him because, so all this darkness. So you see, this is all a Yetzia. It's all pulling the Kedusha out of Klipa. And now was the final moment when the light of Mashiach and the light of King David was going to finally break away from everything. And Shmuel HaNavi is going to anoint him as a king. That was a most powerful Mashiach moment. And Shmuel HaNavi is afraid. If Chas V'Sholem, in the midst of this mission, I get killed, that's what he's afraid. It wasn't a personal fear for his life. It was afraid for the mission. And if it doesn't go through, Chas V'Sholem, it can only make worse. That's why Hashem told him it's not going to happen, and therefore he was good. Now the same is with Eliezer. Eliezer, Avram Avinu had now strengthened Eliezer, giving him a shua. But Eliezer says to Avram Avinu, he said, oh, because one of the questions I didn't ask and I wanted to ask before, what was the havamina of Eliezer? What was Eliezer's thought that he says, if she doesn't want to come, should I bring your son over there? We know that the Eibishter took Avram Avinu away from there. We know that even though Yaakov did go back to Haran, it was because there was no choice, because he had to run away from, it was a sakanas nefashas. It was a very dangerous situation. Why would Eliezer even think that possibility, make such a possibility, Yitzchak should come? And the answer is, Eliezer was worried. He said, what happens if I go there and I can't do it? I know there's going to be a ferocious battle. And it's going to be to pull her out. It's not going to go easy. And what happens if I'm not successful and I can't do it? I'm chas v'shalom scared to abort the mission, because who knows, this will trap her soul even further. She will drift away, and who knows when we will be able to get her back. So maybe it's worth it that I should bring Yitzchak down, and he should help, and he will get married over there together with her. He'll come out, similar to what Yaakov did to the next generation of holy neshamas that were there, that Yaakov himself went down to get Rachel and Leah and to bring them into Kedush. So his thought was that maybe he should go down himself and do that. Avram Avinu answered. That's the reason why he suggested this suggestion. Avram Avinu tells him, and here this is very special. Avram Avinu says, don't worry. I know for sure that the Avodah is going to happen. You're going to be successful. You're going to accomplish that which you need to accomplish. There is no question. And the reason why Avram Avinu, and to illustrate this, he says, Hashem, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from my birthplace. Which the question over here is, which is interesting. First of all, we asked before, why does he have to say that? But the other thing is, he reverses the order. When Hashem took him, where did Hashem take him first? Hashem first took him from his birthplace, which was Ir Kasdim, which was by Nimrod's place. Then after that, he took him from his father's house, which was the whole family relocated to Haran. And from Haran, Hashem told Avram, Lech Lecha. So the order was, he took me Me'eretz Moladati, from my birthplace. Then he took me Beis Avi, from my father's house. And only then did he bring me over here. So why does Avram reverse the order? And here's another very, very powerful and important idea. And that is when Kedusha is extracted from the unholy, the Birur doesn't happen necessarily just from in one shot. By Rivka it did happen in one shot, and somehow, because she went from Lavan straight up to Yitzchak. But even that, there were stages. We'll see soon. There are stages. And he says like this, when Hashem took me, so Avram Avinu was taken from Ur Kasdim, which is a very, 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 very dark, very dark place. From there, he was elevated to Haran. Haran is already considered, even though Haran is the place that angers God, Haroi Nafshal Makim, compared to Ir Kasdim, which is the seat of Nebuchadnezzar and the whole revolt against God, Haran is a more refined place. Now, Avram Avinu, the only one from his family, left Haran and completely separated himself from all Klippa. Meaning, when he left Ur Kasdim, he broke out of the very, very thick and dark Klippas. When he went to Haran, he still had a thin Klippa on top of him. When he broke even Haran, Avram Avinu went out and became into Kedusha. Lech lecha la'artzachem, right? La'aretz asher arecha. Avram Avinu is a Kedusha. Avram is saying, but even though Lekachani, he took Mimi base Avi from my father's house, but my rest of my family, they also have powerful sparks of holiness. It wasn't only me. Because the neshamas of Mashiach and the neshamas of Rivka and all the Emaus, they're my brothers. Terach was my father. Sorry, Terach. But I have a brother, Haran, and their family also, and was also part of the extraction. They came from Ur Kasdim, and they went to Haran. Now, me myself, the Eibishter took out. See? Me, the Eibishter took a double extraction. That's what he's saying. Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Asher Lokachani, me he took me Beis Avi. But I want you to know, he also took me my Eretz Maladati. But when he took my Eretz Maladati, it wasn't only me. He already did half of the extraction for the rest of my family. He took them from the very dark, dark place, and he elevated them to Haran. They got stuck in Haran. Now it's their time to make it over into Eretz Canaan. Just like I took the second step. Now it's their turn also. That's what he's saying to him. He's saying to him, Hashem had already began the process. The process of bitur and rectification has already began. Now we're just finishing it. That's why he's mentioning it. But now, on regards to the question, however, that Eliezer is worried, that if Chas V'Sholem is not successful, then he's going to start something and not complete it. And that's going to make it worse because the power of Klipa is going to get strengthened again to make it. So he tells him an interesting thing. He says, if you don't fulfill your mission, us tinaka, then you're going to be clean. May Allah see from the Shrua, from Meshuasi, from the Shrua is as follows. Tinaka doesn't mean necessarily you will be clean, meaning you won't be held responsible. It means that will be a sign that you never connected to the Shvua. In other words, it's time for the Nitzvot to come out. I know that I can take this Nitzvot out. I know that Mashiach is here, meaning for this Nitzvot, the time of Geulah has come. Question is, you are a Shliach over here. You're an Orer, you're accursed. I'm telling you, Simna Yadcha, I'm telling you, become my Chassid. Attach yourself to me. Bond yourself to me and you'll do it. But I can't know what's happening in your heart. That's up to you. So if you really bonded yourself to me, you'll be successful. If you didn't, then what happens is then you're disconnected. If you're disconnected, you're not going to make anything. You're not going to make anything kala. You're not going to destroy anything. You're not going to harm anything. Because the chatchila, you're never connected to that power. When is there a possibility that things should get ruined and things should get destroyed? Is if like Shaul HaMelech, Shmuel HaNavi, they themselves possess that power. If they don't execute it to its fullest degree right away, Chas V'Shalom, then there can be a devastating thing. You are utter, you're cursed. I'm picking you up and giving you an opportunity to connect to all these levels of holiness through the oath that I'm doing. Now, I don't know if you were successful in it. If it turns out, Eli Loisoyve, if they don't let, is a simen, tinoke means you never connected. You're clean from Ashua, means you never connected. So you never had that energy, and by not utilizing it, nothing terrible will happen. Instead, another shliach is going to bring her. That nitzot is coming anyways. That's the idea that he says, which is really, really, really powerful and very interesting. And I think it explains two things that I want to derive from this in regards to what's going on in the world today. Number one, we see that the Tikkun HaOlam goes through various stages. A lot of that I've been speaking about on my last shiurim, on the Monday night classes and on this week's CD and all these other things, is the purification and the actual Mashiach Tikkun process that's taking place in the world right now. But you see that America, which was founded at the same time that Hasidus came to the world, the same time the Alter Rebbe was beginning Hasidus, the same exact time that the Alter Rebbe instituted Hasidus Chabad, America was had won its independence. It's the two. Why? Because there is this purification. See, the United States of America was already going from Ur Kasdim to Haran. Is it already Mashiach? No. But it's Haran. It's a bitter, it's a purification. And what we're seeing now is the next stage of purification, because what's going on right now in the United States and this whole complete 180-degree turnaround, and the country is moving at unbelievable speed in a different direction, this is Mashiach. Now, but I want to say another thing is, because one of the things you're noticing is, I'm going to use this analogy, I'm going on a global phone call to speak for the women, is that, you know, we were going down the freeway in one direction. Well, imagine going on a bus and you're going, you know, going down south. Suddenly the bus makes a powerful, quick, but a very, very sharp U-turn. And now it's going down the freeway, but it's going at 110 miles per hour and it's maybe swerving a little bit from lanes and you're feeling like, and then you hit a bump and everybody screams, ah! If you don't feel that, that's what's happening. The country is moving in a complete different direction. We're not exactly secure with the driver of who's driving this thing, and the speed is going unbelievable. But why is he pressing down on the, why is he accelerating with such speed? And the answer is, we're learning, when the time comes for the job to get done, it's getting done at enormous speed. It's not a time. Now, if we leave it up to us, we would kratzach ahead, ahi, Netanyahu, would kratz, this, everywhere. So the Eibishter is doing whatever he's doing it, but he's doing it in such enormous, unbelievable speed, because when it needs to be, it happens, you know, instantly and very, very quickly. So may we merit to see the complete Geula, and Bez Hashem, for some more insight onto this, which I'm going to be doing this global phone call, so I have to stop now in a couple of moments. Bez Hashem, we should merit that we'll be in Yerushalayim, Bez Hashem, before next week, Thursday night's class, Thursday's Mashiach class. Phone. It's a phone call that I don't have the number right now in front of me. If you go to COL, the Chabad station, the Chabad website, and you look in just probably on the first page, go scroll down, you'll see global phone call in honor of Yud Shvat. So there's a few speakers speaking. They're actually starting right now, and I'm up to speak in about 20 minutes. Yeah, that's it. So you'll see the number over there. Truth is, I can probably get it for you. I can probably get it for you. Yeah, check it out over there. You'll find it, okay? Very good. All the best. We should merit to see Mashiach Tzidkenu now. Bye.